constantly told, follow your heart. Look out for number one. The Bible is teaching the exact opposite. Brother, if you can put that verse back up there, please. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Man, in marriage, man, we would have no arguments if this was the case, if we lived by this. But let's be honest, we're so selfish, right? Because I'm right. No, she's not right. I'm right. No, he's not right. I'm right. No, that's not how it works. This is the key. It's not about thinking less of yourself. It's thinking more of him. Jesus, think about it, wrapped himself in human flesh. God. Think about that. And not only that, but he came to wash his disciples' feet. If you let it, it could change your life. It could actually revolutionize your life. And keep thinking this way. God, what do you have in store for me? We're so selfish that whenever we go through hard times, we're like, God, why is this happening to me? But you're missing the key to life. Think more of Christ. God, what is it that you want me to learn from this situation? Instead of, God, why is this happening to me? Why can't I pay the bills? God, and again, I don't know what's going on here. But God, why isn't this working out for me? I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to be ruthlessly honest. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? He must increase. I must decrease. Understand who we're here for. To give God the glory. Not to get any glory for ourselves. And I want you to see that this passage of Philippians 2:3, it continues to verse 3. Can you give me verse 3? And then verse 4. Let nothing... Okay. And then it says, look not every man on his own what? Things. But every man also on the things of who? Others. That was 3 and 4. Thank you. James chapter 4 verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Let me ask you something. Why are there wars? Here, let's just take it to the family setting. Why do you fight with your mom, young people? Hey, spouses, why do you fight with your spouse? Congregation, why do you fight with your pastor? Pastor, why do you fight with the congregation? Where does it come from? Come they not hints even of your what? Now, this is not talking about a perverted sexual sin, which it can be. It's talking about wants. I want to be right. That's what it's talking about. Your lust, your desire. I want to win. I have a desire to tell you. You don't have the right to tell me this. That's what it's talking about. Even of your lust that war in your members. That's where this comes from. The reason why we fight is because we don't get what we want. Spiritually speaking, we're brats. Physically speaking, some of you need to get, you know, grow up and stop being brats. But here's the thing. Who do you think is going to learn from us? Who do you think is going to learn from us? Children. My son's going to learn how big of a brat I am by the example I set for him. Or he's going to learn how not to be a brat by the example I set before him. At the end of the day, it's bigger than us. Think about that. If we stop thinking about ourselves, and young people, can I tell you this? When your mom and your dad ask you to do something, forget that. They command you to do something, and they tell you to do something. Stop being selfish. Grow up. You, young people, are willing, especially those of you that have jobs, are willing to not worship, but you're willing to do every instruction your boss tells you for maybe $10 an hour. Well, nowadays it's $14 an hour because of inflation. $15 an hour. You're willing to go clean the nasty stuff from other people and strangers. And you're willing to do it for a dollar. But you're not willing to obey your mom or your dad when they tell you to go do something. The people who actually love you. The people who actually support you. The people who actually give you a car or help you pay bills. You're willing to do that for strangers, though? You know what that's called? Selfish. And here's the truth. How dare you? How dare you? And parents, can I say something? How you treat your spouse is the way the kids are going to treat you. What do you mean, Pastor? Okay, let's not say even the spouse, but ladies, you know, the head of the home should be the husband, right? So how you portray him is going to be the way that the kids are going to think about that man. Now, I'm saying, please, you don't have to lie about him and his character, okay? If the guy is a bum, he's a bum, okay? You don't have to add to that, okay? If he's a bum, well, it's your choice. You messed up. But what I'm trying to say is this. It's not my job, and I know she's not my husband, she's my wife, but for me to show my wife in a negative light to my children. You know, I'm the one that signed up for that. All the pros and all the cons, I made a list too. I was still willing to marry her. I made that commitment and that determination. I made that vow. It's not my children's fault, and guess what? It's not her fault. Guess who made that commitment? I did. So it's not my job to portray her in a negative light to her children. This woman, she can't do this, she can't do that. No, that's being selfish. I know, this is the type of selfishness we don't talk about because we're super spiritual. We know the Bible, we do that. You're selfish. The whole point that I'm trying to make here, we need to stop being selfish because it's our natural tendency. It's natural for our flesh to be selfish. We naturally think about our wants, even of our lust, our wants, our desires. It's natural for us to have our opinions. How many of you are opinionated here? Amen? If you don't raise your hand, I'll point you out because I know who you are, straight up. Okay, thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. All right, thank you. We're all opinionated. Amen? I'm opinionated. I have opinions of myself. I have opinions of what I think. But you know what? It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's right. It means I'm selfish if I put my opinion over what's right. We want our comfort. We want our preferences. Many conflicts in the homes. Many conflicts in the churches. Many conflicts in relationships. They're not caused by the lack of opportunity. You know what they're caused by? The abundance of selfishness. If I don't teach my kid, this is why it's good to teach them to have chores, so when they grow up, amen, they're not bums. It's okay to teach a kid to have a chore and go clean up and make their bed and make their room, because if not, they're going to be adults living in your house that can't pick up their dirty, nasty clothes from the floor. Amen? He said, Pastor, are you talking about anybody? No, but I'm preaching about selfishness. If I don't teach my kid to heed the instruction, to understand that that is true humility, to obey instruction, means I have to get over my wants, I have to give over my opinions. Why do I have to clean my bed? They have to get and overcome that. So when they become adults, they become older, they live in the real world, right? They don't become bums. What is that? Another word for selfish. Bum, selfish, it equates in the life. See, these homeless people, they're free. Nobody could tell them what to do. Amen? They're bums. They're selfish. Amen. Talk to one. I've talked to many of them. Hey, they're free. You can't tell them what to do. They grew up. Guess what? I don't care what you say, Dad. I don't care what you say, Mom. I'm going to do what I want to do. And guess what they're doing now? What they want to do. They're selfish. They're selfish. You say, Pastor, what is pride? Pride says, I deserve better. That's what pride says. What is pride? Pride says or asks, what about me? How come I don't get attention? How come I didn't get the promotion? What does pride say? Why wasn't I recognized? Why doesn't nobody know me? You know what humility says? How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I help? How can God get the glory? That's a big difference, and I don't have to announce it. Here's an illustration I'll share with you. Two brothers were fighting over the last piece of cake. Amen. I don't know how many of y'all like cake here. Amen. But their mother told the older brother, "What would Jesus do?" Amen. Praise the Lord for that question. The boy thought for a moment, and he replied, "Jesus would let me have the piece of cake." Even when we know the right answer, our flesh often finds a way to make everything about me, myself, and I. Amen? That's selfish. When conflict arises, I want you to ask yourself, am I defending truth or am I protecting my pride? Am I seeking God's glory or am I seeking my own comfort? Am I demanding my rights or am I displaying Christ? Most of our battles are not with the devil. You know who the battle is with? That person that you see every morning. And I'm not talking about your spouse. That person that you see in the mirror. That's the person that has the loudest voice in your life. See, it's the flesh that wants the biggest piece, the most attention. You know, it's the Holy Spirit, though, and the Holy Ghost that teaches us that the way up is actually down. Humble yourself. What does God resist? The proud. Humble yourself. The way to greatness, you know what it is? The key? Serve others. That's it. That's what Jesus did. My first point is selfishness reveals the work of the flesh. Second point, selfishness is conquered by following who? Christ's example. I don't know. Here, I'll show you how selfish your pastor is. Amen? Because I think some of y'all think I'm talking about y'all. But remember, when I work on these things, who does it hit first? Yeah, and it hits me bad. And I'm like, man, this is too close to home. Last night, I appreciate my daughter, Haley, our oldest. Amen. She's not a bum that lives in our house. Amen. But she is an adult that lives in our house. And I asked her, I said, "Haley, where did I come from, Mama?" At that time, it was late at night. I came from somewhere. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Street pharmacist, you know, still calls. No, I'm kidding. I came from somewhere. I don't know where. And I come home, and then I asked Haley, I said, "Haley." Oh, we had the scrimmage game. I said, "Haley," I said, "man, can you make me some eggs and sausage and tortillas?" That's my favorite, by the way. Eggs, double egg, over easy, sausage. Good. What is it? Dean's sausage. Amen. And tortillas. I'm on a diet, so I only had 8 tortillas. Amen. That's a lot, in case you know. And I asked her, I said, "Can you make me some tortillas?" She's like, "Yeah, sure, sure." What do you think I did? Hold on, girl. No, that's why you have kids. You delegate. Amen. No, I went, and I forgot. I went to go talk to my wife, and we were relaxing, spending that time. Haley, by the way, it's not that she's my slave. She loves doing that. That's the only reason I asked her, because she loves her dad. Not she loves cooking. She loves pleasing her dad. So I'm like, here's an opportunity. So I go, and I talk to my wife. I'm there talking to her. And I don't know, we're talking to Ezra, too, and we're talking about the game or whatever. And anyways, I come back. She finished cooking the food. I go get my plate. I'm like, "Man, thank you so much." That's not the selfish part. I go sit down. Man, I have my tortillas. I'm eating away, knocking out. Oh, no, you made me 4. Yeah, it's 2 sausages, but she cut them in half. So it was like 4 pieces of sausage, 2 eggs. I'm eating it. I'm knocking that down. I'm making my 2nd sausage. 1 egg's done. You know, it's gone. I have another egg there. Brother Colin, I'm just eating away. Then my wife comes out, she's smelling the food. And I'm like, "Hey, babe," mouth all full. She's like, "Oh, you're eating?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, okay." And then I felt so bad because I clicked. It was a little bit too late. I was selfish, Miss Deborah. I was thinking about my wants and my desires, the lust in my belly. Amen. I wanted to eat food. But not one time did I stop to think, "Hey, maybe my beloved, the woman among the thorns, amen, the rose in my life, Maybe she might want some eggs and sausage, and you know. Not one time did I stop to think about that. When I realized it, I said, oh, I still kept eating though. I still kept eating, amen? Because I wasn't gonna get into like, you know, I wasn't gonna let the food get bad here in my belly, so I needed to make sure I ate right. And then I got up, I walked over there to my wife, I said, babe, were you hungry? That's like the dumbest question to ask, right? Amen. I just want y'all to know your pastor does this. Amen. Your pastor does this. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I get selfish sometimes. Not on purpose. Amen. It's natural. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't doing anything illegal. I was just trying to feed my belly. Benjamin, do you think that's wrong? Is it sinful to feed your belly? No. But here's the sin. I was what? Selfish. I didn't realize it, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you. I don't want y'all to feel like getting beat up tonight. Oh, man, he's saying we're selfish. No, I'm trying to explain to you. This is natural. This is how we struggle with it without even it being so obvious to our eyes. I go there, and I felt small, Daniel. And I said, babe, dumb, right? Are you hungry? She's like, I was, but it's okay. And then I'm like, do you want me to make you some eggs and sausage? She's like, no, I'm fine. The damage was done. It's not that necessarily I intended to hurt her, but that was the sin of what? Self. Do you get it? And these are things that sometimes we don't realize because Zeke, man, that tasted good. I was like, man, it was delicious. That grease, delicious. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because that's real. It's true. That's what I mean. Sometimes we think selfishness, and yes, it is negative, and yes, it is bad. But when you hear a pastor preach, everybody feels like down and out. No, don't be down and out. Embrace it and realize, yeah, it can happen to any one of us without even knowing it's happening. Because it's part of who we are. It's natural for our sinful nature to be what? Selfish. What we're trying to do tonight is find the biblical cure for selfishness. The first point is selfishness reveals the work of the flesh. The second point is selfishness is conquered by following Christ's example. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, the Bible says, let this what? Mind. That's so key. If my mind wasn't on those eggs over easy, brother, I would have been okay. I wouldn't have been in the doghouse. Amen. You don't know what that is yet? But you will soon find out, young men. Amen. Let this mind be in you. Not the eggs, not the sausage, not the tortillas, not the smell. It smelled good too. Which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God. Remember God? Wrapped himself in flesh, human flesh, right? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Next. But made himself of what? No reputation. He didn't say, hey, I am God. I am the King of Kings. Look at all my crowns. Look at my purple, I don't know, robe. Look at who I am. My Father is God. You should kiss the feet. You should kiss, forget my feet, kiss the floor I walk on. Look at my rings. That's not our God. That's not our Jesus. Who took upon him the form of a what? He was human, but he's also a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He didn't come to be served, my friends. He came to serve others. And if you and I want to know and understand how selfishness is conquered, then you and I need to know and understand who is the one that conquered it. It's Jesus. Not one time did he make us do something for him, to serve him or his best interests. He did it for us, for our best interest. He was selfless. He is the epitome of selflessness. Jesus is. Amen? And I want you to understand that that's what it's talking about. We need to have that mind of others. You want to be great in this world? Serve yourself. But you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Serve others. Serve others. That's the key, because that's going to last for eternity, right? That's the key. Look at Mark chapter 10, please. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be what? What is another word for minister? Served. That's what ministering means, to serve. Serving. Be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Man. If there's anyone in this world that ever existed in the timeline of life that should have been worshipped, should have been served, who do you think it was? Jesus. If there was any man that deserved that, it was Jesus. He was the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. His palace, right? He walks in streets of gold. This man should have been honored. Yet he wrapped himself again in human flesh to wash the feet, or the fungus, or the crocodile feet, or the nasty toes of his disciples. You say, Pastor, why are you saying it like that? Because they probably, more than likely, they didn't have the skin care that we have nowadays. Amen. We're a little bit more advanced. They probably had rough looking feet. They didn't have sole. They didn't have shoes, close toe. They had open toe, right? Sandals. They were walking in the sand. It was hot. I'm pretty sure they didn't have lotion for those cracks on their feet. Amen. I mean, am I being real or not? Come on. This is why they had servants. When you would come a guest, the servant would bring out a bowl of water and what? Wash your feet. And so these disciples, Jesus came to wash their feet. And he gave his life on the cross. That's what that means. A life, a ransom for many. He died on the cross. The King of Kings, the one that deserved honor, the one that deserved our respect. He died. You know what that's called? The greatest example of selflessness. It was on Calvary. It was Jesus. The world, my friends, will say, live for yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. That's the key. The world says, hey, serve yourself. Jesus says what? Serve others. Imagine a king leaving his palace, taking clothes of a servant, and cleaning the mud off the feet of his subjects. That's exactly what Jesus did. My friends, serve someone without expectation this week. Don't just serve and then follow me. You expect something for them. I know I'm the worst at it, Brother Jeremiah. You know, we're in ministry, so we're trying to get some results. Amen? We're trying to perform. And it's not a negative thing. It doesn't have to be negative, but you're trying to see people saved, or you're trying to see some people discipled. You're trying to see people's lives changed, right? When you're in ministry. Because it shows, hey, I'm putting in the work. Here's the result, right? Sometimes it doesn't always come out that way. And the reality is this. In ministry, sometimes I can get caught up in expectation. Like, why didn't they do this? Or what happened here? What you follow me? That's not how it works. He must increase. I must decrease. That's the key. We got to get to the place where we can encourage someone without expecting praise. We can encourage someone without expecting recognition. We can serve people without having expectations. Amen? Like, hey, you need to repay me back. My wife blames me for this. I do this a lot, but you know how sometimes there's homeless people and they're not so homeless. You know, some people just do things to get money. I'm the dummy sometimes, or most of the time, that gives them money, whether it's for their addiction or whatever they're going to use it for. But you got to understand, and I think our backgrounds are different. Follow me? I agree with her. They need to get a job. They need to work. It's not that she's cold-hearted or anything. She wants me to understand they're going to use this for wrong. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. But also, what I've learned, Brother Jeremiah, if God moves me, that's not really on me, because I'm commanded to serve others, right? I don't have a gauge of sincerity, a sincere-ometer. In my heart, I can't say, this person's going to use it for drugs and alcohol. Or, no, this person's actually going to use it for food. I don't know that, right? I can't judge him. I'm not God. But if God moves me, guess what I do? I give him money. I did that to one guy. Yeah, he used me. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people that use me. But I don't know, babe. I don't know how much money the tire cost. It was a guy, his tire was messed up. Took him to Walmart, buy him a tire. I think it was two tires. I don't know. But it came out like to two something, 200 something. It's not money that we have or money that we could just, hey, here, here's $200. But the reality is this. I felt that's what God wanted me to do. Not that I was living in sin or I was in a wrong place. I wasn't doing something wrong. It was one of those things where I had the opportunity to witness to that man. And witness I did. He ended up getting saved. But I never seen him ever since then. He was supposed to come to church. But you know what? I have no regret, Ms. Deborah. Even till to now, I don't have regret for doing that. He probably needed that tire more than I did. Needed that $200-something. You follow me? What I'm saying is, it comes down to a point in our life where we need to understand that's what Jesus did. When he went to the cross, we weren't going to be able to pay that back. When he went to the cross, he wasn't thinking about how this sinner is going to repent or if he's going to continue doing wrong or he's going to turn his life around. He's like, I'm just trying to give him a chance. Now, what he does with that chance, that's up to him, right? Friends, we need to get to this place where we need to think like Christ, follow his example. I'm not saying be foolish, okay? Please don't be foolish. But there are times where we see Jesus, the King of Kings, serving when he should have been served, but he's serving. And as followers, we should do the same. We should serve others instead of being served. Here's the third point, and I'll be done. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Selfishness is replaced by a life surrendered to Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then sent Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know why it's easy for some people to be successful? And I don't mean in everything, but it almost seems like it. They understand this thing. It's bigger than them. You have to deny yourself, your wants, your desires to sleep in, you know, to if you want to get into the fit or in diet or things of that nature, you have to deny those things, right? But also, they understand this key right here. Take up your cross. The reason why there are some people that are so successful in just about everything they do is because they understand there's no excuses for success. Either you do it or you don't. There's no trying. You do it. Taking up your cross, that's what it means. When you take up the cross, you realize this is too heavy for me. I can't do it. You know what successful people have to depend on? Something more than themselves. It's called God. That cross only Jesus could carry. It's not a cross we can carry, my friends. I'm going to tell you what will help your relationships, what will help your finances, what will help you, the plans that God has for you, for in store for you, is realizing that that cross is too heavy for you to handle. It's too hard. You can't do it. You can't. And it's realizing that, hey, I need to deny my desire to quit. I need to deny my desire of comfort. I need to deny sometimes rationality, right? Logic. Sometimes you need to just realize, God, all I can do is depend on you and trust that what you have in store for me is right. And anything you allow in my life, you permit it. So God, I can't carry this cross. I need to depend on you to help me carry it. My friends, I'm telling you, that is success. It's that journey, and you start realizing what it's molding you into, and you start realizing selfishness is being replaced because you're surrendering self to Christ. That's life. One of the things that my wife and I made a decision early on is that we were not going to raise children for the devil. I know some people were like, what? But it's a decision we made. Every baby from Haley to Ezra, you can ask her. We prayed over. And of course, when we found out that we were going to have babies, we would pray over it, even while it was still in the belly. And I know some people think I'm cruel for it and might think different of me when you find this out, but if any one of these six were not going to be saved, my prayer for me was that God would take them home. I was not going to raise lost children. I just wasn't. I've seen what sin does. If anything, God, take them away. Why? Because at least they have a chance as a baby. What did David say when he was praying, he was fasting for that baby? That he had, what's her name? Bathsheba was pregnant, right? It fell sick because of the sin. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, but what did he do after the baby passed away? He stopped fasting. He went to go eat, and they asked him, hey, why are you not fasting? Why are you not grieving? He's like, well, when it was yet alive, I could do something about it, right? He goes, but now that it's dead, I can't. What did he say? He said, something in the form of, it cannot come to me, but I can go to the baby. Well, he didn't say the baby, but I can go to him. The point being is, there's scripture there, and there's positive in the sense that the life of a child is precious to God. I understand that they're probably not in the age of accountability where they know right from wrong. God's not a mean God. David was trying to say that, hey, guess what? Babies go to heaven. At the end of the day, I understood that if my babies ever got to the age of accountability and they're just going to serve the devil, man, what did I do with that eternal soul? I don't ever want to be held accountable for that. Not because I'm scared or I'm afraid, I am, but what I'm saying is I don't ever want to bring a soul to this world and all they're going to do is serve the devil. We're Christians. Amen? So we made a decision to pray over our babies while they were still in the womb. And we pray for their spouses. We still pray for their spouses that we don't know who they are, because some of them are going to need some help. We pray for them. We pray for our grandbabies that we still don't know. Amen. That I'm going to spoil to death and they're going to not like it, but it's okay. You're going to be like, Dad, you never let us get away with it. I know. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is payback. But my point is, you want to get to that place where you say, God, I can't do this by myself. I'm depending on you to help me raise these kids. And the best way I know how, I'm going to do my part. This is me committing myself to you, God. Can you help me the rest of the way? Folks, it's a surrendered life. Surrender everything you have to God. You won't regret it. He said, Pastor, you don't understand my child right now. You won't regret it, man. You won't regret it. They're not going the path. You won't regret it. Start now. If you haven't done so, it's not too late. Start now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're still with me, say amen. I have only 2 minutes left. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your what? Of your own? Verse 20. For ye are bought with a what? So why are we not our own? Why does our body not belong to us? Because it was what? It was purchased, right? It was bought with a price. What was the price? Huh? Come on. What was the price? Jesus died on the cross, right? Therefore, glorify God in your what? And in your spirit, which are God's. Again, I understand not everybody has the same mindset or maybe beliefs or standards like my wife and I do. And I'm not saying ours is the best. Our standards and our convictions come from the Word of God. And we talk about it and we say, hey, this is from the Word of God. Things that don't come from the Word of God, their preferences or the people that try to put in our minds, we decide, you know, is there some godly principle in it? But I will tell you this, and I'm not trying to talk bad about other people. I saw this week a young man have a thing here. He's only 5 years old, amen? And he had like it's not a tattoo, but it's like a tattoo. I guess it's a painting of some sort. And he thought it was the biggest thing. He's like, yeah. And I'm not going to be preaching to him. That's his parents' decision to allow him to do that. You say, Pastor, that's not a big deal. What are you trying to create? What are you trying to raise? Someone that respects the body enough to glorify God in it or no? What is it that we're trying to do? You might say, well, Pastor, you're way off on that. No, I'm not. It starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. So the direction you start teaching, leading by example, that child's going to follow. And if they know it's okay to get away with certain things, guess what they'll do when they're older? 10 times more. It'll be worse. They'll get away with things that are worse. John 3:30, again, he must increase, but I must what? We're talking about the biblical cure for selfishness. The third point, selfishness is replaced by a life that's surrendered to Christ. The Christian life is not about self-improvement. It's really about self-surrender, surrendering self. That's what it's about. A selfish person, again, will ask, what do I want? A person that's surrendered to Christ will ask, what does who want? Who? God. What does God want? When we realize we belong to Christ, our priorities change, our thinking change, our heart changes. Our lives become less about building our little kingdom, right? We don't have that mentality here. I don't know if you noticed that. In our church, do I like to see people? Yes. Would I like to see a room full of people? Yes. Do I think it's exciting for our church? Yes. But you know that's not my priority. You know what I would like to see full? You know what I would like to see grow? Your heart. Your heart. I'm not trying to be weak with it, but you being in alignment with God and finding fullness in that makes me happy. Because guess what can't take away your happiness? Numbers. A full church. You can still come to church and say, you know what? I look forward to it because I'm going to get something from the Word of God. Now then, my friend, that's different. Waking up every morning, not thinking, oh, is my son a pastor, a missionary? No, I'm going to be thinking, is my son, his life, glorifying God? If it is, guess what I am? Full. Actually, fulfilled. Filled over. Amen? Joseph had every reason to become bitter. Joseph had every reason to become self-focused. His brothers betrayed him. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused and forgotten. Yet when God elevated him to second in command, what did he use his position for? To condemn or to save others? Save others. Genesis 50:20. Do you have that one or no? Okay. That beginning portion says, but as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Here's what you and I need to do, or make a decision tonight, like Joseph did. Joseph chose God's purpose over personal revenge. Vendetta. Bow your head, close your eyes.